Dolphinville. Dolphinville.com radio on the internet waves once again. Here we have the solstice. Welcome to the winter solstice, folks. December 22nd. And this is a time of season, time of giving. Everybody is in this kind of holiday mode right now, waiting for Santa to come down the chimney. And I hope you got all your shopping done. We're ready for some special things today, some special gifts that are going to be arriving early for this giving season. And I welcome everybody to the show. This experiment in time and space, these new cyberwave frequencies, a new bandwidth of informational flow that we're putting out for you to listen to, for you to enjoy, for you to expand with. We are here to celebrate. Thank you for coming. And again, we have Joan Ocean with us this week. Joan has been with us the last three programs. She's been able to give us some incredible information, some insights about how we are facing this new paradigm of thinking, this new way of being. And she's been leading us through the experiences with the dolphins and then the whales. And last week we had some incredible information about the ETs that she's been sharing with us. These programs have been leading up to an event that she wants to stage on the air, a live internet meditation in which we will invite in the ETs. So, once again, welcome, Joan. Thank you for coming to the show. And we're anxious to hear what's going to be on the agenda this week.
Thank you, Douglas. It's great to be here. And thank you, Randy, for volunteering all of your time and equipment here. It's wonderful. And happy solstice to everyone out there. Happy holidays. Happy holy days. There's so much love on the planet right now as friends and families come together. And it's really a good time to meditate and enjoy this wonderful, loving vibes all around the planet. Here in Dolphinville, the friends get together and celebrate these holy days, and we meditate and express our love for each other. It's a very joyful time here. So I'm feeling that joy in my heart, and I'm happy to be sharing it with you.
That's great, Joan. Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to mention Photon.net as our sponsor of this program. Randy Barris is the president and founder of Photon.net. And simply, it's a internet provider. And it's been an internet service provider since 1996. I found them way back when as being somebody who was making an attempt for conscious communication over the internet. I was really attracted to that idea. It's easy to get on the internet with Photon.net. They provide internet access to over 28,000 local dial-up services in numbers across the United States and here in Hawaii as well, plus a wide range of professional internet services such as web hosting, e-commerce, multimedia broadcasting, virtual tours, webmail, and much more. So please visit photon.net, www.photon, P-H-O-T-O-N.net, like the photon belt, which we're all enjoying right now. Randy has mentioned that anybody listening to this broadcast is entitled to receive a free setup and free first month of web hosting. And all you got to do is use the referral code Joan Ocean when signing up, and that first month will be free for you. Well, last couple of programs, Joan and I have had a great time talking and discussing some of our experiences with whales and some of the ET encounters that we've had. We're trying to find gateways of understanding this other sentient race of beings, become aware of life forms that are living and vibrating beyond the average Earth human's ability to see them. These are the kinds of experiences that are opening these things up to us. And thank goodness we have people like Joan who are frontiers people. They're forging the way to this new territory. And when she's talking about dolphins and whales and other beings from living in other planets, other time zones, and other special realities, we can find ways to telepathically communicate with them and open up an etheric level of communication through such things as love and heart connections. These are parallel realities, and we've been exploring some of the ideas of the parallel realities. And one of the things that Joan has mentioned over the time is some of her experiences. I know that she's mentioned in some of her writings on the internet such things as the universal spiral geometries and such things as the spiral matrix, which is something maybe she'll get in and discuss a little bit later as to what that means and how our idea of the future and past is really changing. One of the ways that we are trying to determine the difference between levels of intelligence is trying to apply new sets of standards. I mean, did you ask yourself how the dolphins might think of human intelligence rather than us always thinking of dolphin intelligence? Perhaps they're looking at us and going, gee, I wonder why they can't get this, or wonder what it will take for us to be able to get through to them. How can we establish a communication? So part of what we're learning is this, and how can we establish communications with them? It's really kind of a pleasure to be able to deal in these realms, and maybe today we'll do some comparisons between ETs and dolphins and whales. How does that sound, Joan?
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to talk about that. I'd like to talk about my own personal experiences and understandings of the similarities between the ETs and the dolphins. And also tonight I'd like to share some more whale channeling. Many people have written to me and said they enjoyed that. So I'd like to get into that.
I love how you take us into those realms. So looking forward to that a little bit later in the program.
So I was thinking, though, before I begin, that I remember that at the end of last week when we were here, you said something about being fluid, and I thought about that, because the whales had shared that same concept. You're so in tune with them anyway, so I knew exactly what you were talking about. And I found the piece of information I wanted to share, just a small part of it, about their being fluid. And also, as they really encouraged me to share this tonight, they also acknowledged the presence of all of you listeners and your important part in the reality of higher consciousness on Earth. So let me begin with that. Here's what they said. The whales are a single force and a multiple force, all at the same time. We are the consciousness of the whales in their physical form, but we also merge with human beings. We are archetypes, and the physical forms mean little to us. At one time, you believed that we were localized in space and time. But now you understand that we are part of a flow, part of a fluid reality without form and mass. Everything is movement. There is only the one, the ultimate reality, indwelling in all. The multiplicity you seem to experience in your lives is only a mirror of the one. All the beautiful variety and diversity is united in an immense, sophisticated singularity that is sometimes difficult to comprehend. But we can see that the experiment of integration with you and others is working. We are aware of all of you who are here. The synergy between our minds is clear. The portal of higher consciousness has opened. We thank you all for your loving part in this. So,
sounds like this could be the voice of ETs as well as whales.
Yes, there's a lot of similarities. And, you know, as I was preparing for this day and for speaking and all, we've been going through a lot of changes here in Dolphinville, all of us friends, and we talk with each other, and I was talking to Jack and to Trish and Doug and many of us that are in contact with the star beings and going through these changes, and we share them with each other. We're really lucky in that way that we have, or fortunate that we chose to be here in that way, that we can have each other to talk to. And we're really happy to be experiencing these journeys into multidimensional realities. But I also thought I'd like to share some information from the whales about these changes that we can expect, not only among us here on the Big Island, but also all of you out there who are experiencing these things, and you can see how normal these changes are. We've been having experiences like kind of seeing different realities kind of coming in and out. Maybe you can relate to that. You could be just kind of gazing off, and all of a sudden the scene changes, and you're seeing a different view, or it might be mountains when you're out in the ocean, and different realities kind of merging and then disappearing and then coming back again. Some people now are smelling flowers in places where there are no flowers, a lot of beautiful scents and perfumes. Sometimes we hear beautiful music. It's incredibly beautiful. You can hear it in the water, and I'm not talking about the beautiful whale sounds. It's other music, like music of the spheres, and sometimes people feel that they've been touched, like the back of their head or their arms. So we're all talking about these things and acknowledging the reality of them, because it's so important to really understand that these things are happening, and we don't have to deny it. We can really look into it more fully. And as we share with each other, we really begin to understand that this is something that's happening all around the world. So here's what the whales had to say about the dimensions and the different dimensions moving in and out. They said, humanity lives in a third dimension while in a physical matter body, and usually goes into the fourth at death, unless he has become highly evolved and can go immediately into higher realms. In the fourth dimension, we have the opportunity to learn to understand our progress into the light. In the fifth, group mind predominates, and we learn to project our thoughts, gain wisdom, and assist souls in the third and fourth, while we occasionally enter the sixth dimension. Remember, the higher dimensions are simply a molecular alteration from the dimension where you are now. There is a difference in vibratory level. And one of the images that the whale showed me to help me understand this better was the image of an overhead fan. If you picture a fan on the ceiling, and you turn it on at half speed, and you can see the blades turning, and you can see them quite well at half speed. But then you turn it on to high speed, and you look directly through them. It's going so fast, you can feel the breeze, but you can't really see the blades anymore. So it's very similar like that, the different dimensions and the changes that occur. And in addition, they pointed out that we constantly walk through radio and TV and computer beams without having an awareness of them. And that in that same way, higher frequency beings move through us and through walls without obstruction. The sixth dimension is a more electrified, energized atmosphere filled with great power. It is an intense and harmonic vibration that permeates every being. So they're going on. They said there are an infinite number of them, of dimensions, and their label or name really doesn't matter. When we begin to experience things in altered states, we are entering another plane of reality. It feels like dreaming, but it is actually a change in neurotransmissions and the bioelectric potentials of the brain. We experience a spinning vortex and a language of light coursing through our nervous system. When the brain makes this shift, the different state we feel is just as real as that in our everyday reality. But we are no longer dependent on verbal and sequential thinking. We experience a waveform of harmony. Higher consciousness geometries that actually affect our DNA. And then we are able to bring forth and even become energy from the universal source. And so, in the light of all that's going on now, I would like to go on to talk this evening about ET behaviors and how we are experiencing these things when we move into the frequency with them, and how their behaviors are similar to the dolphins and whales who we know and love so well.
You can almost say there's the same difference between ETs and cetaceans. And there's been a lot said about the so-called changes that a lot of people have been experiencing, particularly in these last several months. August brought in a tremendous amount of change, and certain constellations were lining up, certain portals and stargates were lining up. We've heard quite a bit of literature about the harmonic concordance that took place in the first part of November, and then followed shortly by the concordance actually celebrated at the same time as the eclipse of the moon, and there was a two-week interval between that and the eclipse of the sun. These are celestial events that we all can recognize, but I know that we all, the people who have tuned in to the dolphins and whales, recognize that this is how they really do a lot of their navigation. This is how they gauge the energy frequencies of their lifespan. And so it's really important to recognize that these kinds of changes are happening on the planet right now. I think the emotional level that people have been experiencing has been expressed to me on a number of different occasions. In other words, things have been happening that have really shaken people up or really caused them to get in touch very strongly with their emotional bodies. And I don't know if it has to do with the changing times or whether what we're trying to do is really make some adjustments in our emotional body to accommodate this new level of information, which is what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are a lot of things going on emotionally, too. And there's so much going on with the stars and the planets and the Earth. And, you know, the Earth has biorhythms just like our human body does. And so we're affected by all these things, of course. Our body and the Earth's body, we're really one. And so there's just a lot happening right now. And it's really what we came here for. It's very exciting, even if it doesn't always look like it sometimes. It's really a great time to be here now.
I agree. Well, you've taken your inspiration from many, many sources. And I know when you were mentioning the gathering last August, the portal gathering, it had to do with the biorhythms of the Earth. There was a 20-year cycle that you talked about. That was really curious to me. I'd like to know more about cycles and biorhythms that you perceive, and also what you mean by the star matrix.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, every 20 years, apparently, the biorhythms of the Earth peak. And the scientists working on this, and you can find it on the Internet, information about it, but they know the dates are in the years 1943, and of course before that, and 63 and 83 and 2003. So that really was why we were focused on that date in August. It was August 12, 2003, at a time when all the different biorhythms of the Earth are peaking on the exact same time. So the mental, the physical, the spiritual, the intellectual, the mental, physical, spiritual, what's the other one? Emotional. Yeah, all at the same time. So that's really a high time for the planet and a great time to use your spiraling matrix, mm-hmm. to use the Merkaba that you are, your geometric energy field, mm-hmm. to spiral into those realms and go there with so much love that it positively affects the entire planet. Mm-hmm. So we did that then, and we did it for the concordance, mm-hmm. too.
Well, you mentioned the spiral matrix in reference to the Merkaba, mm-hmm. and I don't know that we've really discussed Merkaba per se as a light vehicle, but that seemed to be the configuration about the concordance that had everybody so excited. There was actually a configuration that was called the Seal of Solomon, the Star of David, the ancient Merkaba traveling, and so I think it's significant that this kind of symbol and these kinds of sacred geometric things are coming into our consciousness now.
Right. Yeah. Merkaba is actually an Egyptian word that's in use today, and it means vehicle. So it could be a camel, or it could be a car, an airplane, or a light vehicle, a space vehicle. And, of course, it's been very popularized now to represent our experiences of moving into higher consciousness using the star tetrahedron geometric form that the human body has been reflecting. So that's changing, but that's what it's been.
Well, I think you mentioned, and I felt this too, that the dolphins and whales use these sacred geometries as a means of portraying their universe and a means of communicating with us too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they do. It's a way you can merge your energy fields together, and all the different triangles and pyramids connect up and create a very powerful energy in that connection. So, yeah, one of the words that that I received when Jean-Luc was doing a lot of his art with different pyramid shapes and different geometric forms is the word sigils. And sigils mean advanced universal geometries beyond the Platonic solids that we know here on planet Earth. So I refer to that to time to time, and I've looked it up, and if you have a dictionary that's a very large advanced one, it is in there, S-I-G-I-L-S. So sigils are where we are moving. We're moving into them, making contact with them. And people who are working specifically with geometry are very fascinated by all of that.
Hmm. Well, I know a big issue with everybody is the actual visualizing and seeing ETs or representations of ETs. And I know that, you know, you've actually expressed it, and I've seen this happen in workshops where people can't even see dolphins when they're right in front of us. That's kind of a phenomenon, and I think it applies sometimes to the way people are trying to perceive ETs as well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, many of us have noticed, you know, those of us who live here, of course, we're very used to seeing dolphins and whales, and we can spot them all the time in the ocean. But often when people arrive here for the first time or are having their first experience with dolphins, even though you're pointing them out, you're saying, look, see over there, right over there, there's dolphins swimming on the ocean. Do you see them? And maybe we're on the land, maybe we're on a boat, but we're pointing them out, and often people can't see them. And that's natural because they just haven't had experience in seeing them. And yet the dolphins are there, and once you get used to seeing them, once you see them over and over again, then you see them easily. So, of course, that's very similar to ships in the sky and the ETs in the sky, in that they're up there. There are thousands of them up there. Of course, they can be invisible and not be seen whenever they don't want to be seen. But if you continue to look at the sky and pay attention, you'll start to see them. And I often see small kind of silver discs that move behind clouds and then come back out again, and just very quickly in and out. And other people see them too. And then, of course, the lenticular clouds that we talked about the other week.
Those are amazing, those lenticular clouds that we saw here. I think it was after the first show or during that week, almost as if we had invited the ETs to come in and they were showing up with all these beautiful forms. What's the difference between a normal cloud and an ET cloud, or does every cloud contain potential sentient intelligence?
Well, we really don't know. You know, it could be. We are learning so much. What we think is reality and what we think, we've had it described in a certain way about, you know, and it makes a lot of sense how the scientists explain the water formation, the density of things, and the way the moisture goes up and forms in the clouds and comes down as rain, and we have all that background, all that information. But we also know that the ETs can work with powerful energies. They can work with the volcanic eruptions. They can work with the energies of the sun. So I wouldn't put it past them to be able to interact with clouds and the moisture that's created by clouds and be able to interact with them. So I actually, when I see something that is shaped like what I would think a ship would be shaped like, and that is a disc, I often will communicate a hello and see what comes back. And often I get a wonderful beam of light that comes back.
Sort of a way of saying echolocating something in this other density. The whale channeling that you shared earlier mentioned the different density levels of these so-called dimensions as we go through them. And it occurred to me when we were getting into this topic, even before we started the shows, when the cloud forms were showing up, that perhaps it's just a matter of the way we think about a cloud that will enable it to have real information or not. If we're open to it, then isn't everything in our universe capable of giving us incredible insights and maybe spiritual truths if we would just so recognize it as having that sentience?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, nature works with us to help us. But there's also the other side that does explain things, our left brain, as we call it, and rationally, that how things exist. There is an advanced physics, a physics beyond the ones we know on Earth, but it is a physics, nevertheless, universal physics. And the ETs are aware of it and working with that. So they are also contributing their thought forms and their knowledge to what we're doing. So it's not just us alone creating here.
Okay, you got some more to share?
Yeah, well, I wanted to share a little more about the dolphins and the ETs and the comparisons. I was thinking about the different field that we go into, like with the dolphins and whales again, when people come and they go into the ocean. And in some cases, people are very brave to do that because they may not even know how to swim. Sometimes they've read my book and they knew that I didn't know how to swim when I first met the dolphins, and so that makes them feel like they can trust me, that I'll understand what they're feeling. And they'll come and they go into the ocean and trusting the pod leaders, the safety swimmers who help them, and really because of their love, they just love the dolphins so much, love the whales so much, that they want to be as close to them as they can go. And I find that this is very similar to experiences with the extraterrestrials when we enter their high-frequency environment, because that environment is, it's different than our three-dimensional one. It feels different to us. We can feel it. And, again, we're meeting many different beings who don't look like us, just like the dolphins don't look like us, and they have different needs and behaviors, and they have a different culture and society. And yet somehow they seem familiar, just like the dolphins are, and we recognize the kinship between us. And we also feel that great spirit of adventure to meet them. So, you know, speaking of the water environment, I think the water is very important. There's some interesting work being done now about water molecules. And the more you understand that, the more you appreciate the benefits and the spiritual aspects of swimming in the ocean, and really swimming in the part of, again, the earth that makes up more than 71% of her surface, seems really important. So I wanted to share with you a little message about the ocean that the whales gave us to hear. They were talking about, they said, "We whales have learned to extract water after it passes through organic structures. Water is never destroyed, it's only recycled in various forms. It continues to flow through organisms and undergo changes. And the water is imprinted with data from these structures. So just as a single cell contains data about our entire body, the entire body, so these molecules of water that you drink and then pass through your body contains data about your systems, about all your systems, every cell. And these molecules can be decoded. And the whale said, in time, you will have the technology to decode water molecules. And when you do, you'll be able to design medicines, treatments, energy treatments as well, specifically to each individual. The primitive medicines that you are now using originate from the idea that human beings of your species are generic, and what is true of one will be true of another. As you know, there are dangerous side effects of these medicines. In time, you will be able to decode individual molecular structures using the amino acids and the other molecules of your own body. In order to decode these, you will need to work with the water byproducts such as sweat and urine. By decoding the water components, you will be able to design medicines for your people. We whales do not have any remaining distortions, and we use water mostly for encoding information. All your history, everything that has ever happened, is encoded here in your waters. The history of many other peoples, many other places, and our own history, and the history of some of the civilized planets, are also encoded in this water. We whales have special waters that we use for this purpose, and we will take you to them.
Water. This is a water planet. We are water beings, and we are on the water consciousness. I'd like to take a little breather right now. Think about water as we listen to Andrew Forrest taking us into the Starseed waters from his album Starseed. Found this track to be a perfect match for the animation Merkaba, Voyage of a Starseed, dubbed by visionary artist Jean-Luc Pezzoli. About 5 years, 6 years ago, Jean-Luc had completed this, and Joan was in England in a musical bookstore in Glastonbury and heard this sounds. And when she brought it back and showed it to Jean-Luc, they found that the sounds of this particular composition matched perfectly to the animation. We were talking about water. We were talking about how the molecules of hydrogen and oxygen combine to bring us into altered states, and we are having a special relationship with the water of the planet, the water of our bodies. And as somebody who swims with in the ocean here, in the magnificent oceans of the Hawaiian waters, it's been my experience to share the ocean with people. Oftentimes it's people who have some kind of a fear of the water. Through whatever life's experience, it has made it difficult for them to get into the water and get relaxed. So one of the things I've been able to do is to help people in that state of relaxation. However, fear is a huge, huge thing for all of us, and it does create blocks. It creates blocks from experiencing ourselves in different atmospheres. And when we enter into the zero gravity of the ocean, sometimes fear is the first thing that we have to overcome And it's not like we have to beat it down, folks. What we have to do is to allow it to be what it is and allow ourselves to be fluid and liquid around it. So what do you think about that, Joan? Fear in the water. You see it a lot around here, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I can relate to that because, well, I never swam myself. You know, my family, I grew up in New Jersey, and they were always trying to get me to swim. And, you know, there were just pools over there or the Atlantic Ocean, and that was big waves.
Well, God knows what else was in the ocean in New Jersey.
Yeah, that was scary. So I really didn't learn to swim, and any time I took a class, I like to remember this, that they kept trying to get me to float. The first thing you had to learn to float, and what they kept calling it was the dead man's float. And I thought, well, I don't want to do the dead man's float. Anyway, for some reason, swimming was never presented to me as much fun. And although I wasn't really afraid of the ocean, I did think I would just sink. You know, I didn't realize how well I would float. So I can really understand people feeling that. And yet, interestingly, the dolphins are very sensitive to that, it seems to me, that they would never do anything to make people fearful. And neither would our loving ET friends. They do not do anything to scare people. The last thing they want to do is to create more fear in people. So if people, you know, lots of times they want to be with the dolphins, and they get in, they go, oh my gosh, they're as big as I am, and they've got a mouthful of teeth, and they're really muscular, and they look different than I looked, and I'm a little afraid. And then the dolphins kind of circle and keep their distance, and they don't come too close until the swimmer starts to relax more and feel comfortable with that. And often when we do the seminars, the first day maybe you don't have as much close contact because the people are getting used to their snorkeling gear and getting used to each other and getting comfortable in the really gentle waters of the ocean here. And then after that, then the dolphins will swim side by side with us. But, again, the similarity I find with our ET friends is that they, as I said, do not want to instill more fear into our present fear-based society. So they really are going to keep their distance until people are ready to make contact. In that last communication that came from them, that one that's on the website, they are asking people to ask them to come when they're ready, and that they can tell what's really in the hearts of the people. And so, you know, it's about getting ready. It's about getting used to these ideas, and that's what I hope our discussing this will do for people, help people get used to these ideas and begin to think about it more realistically and look at any fears they may have. I used to have, as a counselor, I had people come to me who felt they had fearful contacts with ETs. And the main thing we had to look at, it wasn't to do with the ETs, it was their fear and where their fear was coming from, what had happened to them previously that made them so afraid. So not to deny the reality of what they were experiencing or imagining, but they really had deep fears inside that had come from childhood often. And once those could be worked out, then they began to see the bigger picture in a much better way.
It's called releasing of blocks.
Yeah, right.
Refer to it.
So, and the ETs are really able to understand us very well, probably better than we even understand ourselves, and the dolphins and whales too. It's like they can sense who we are, and they're very sensitive to us. And of course, they see the bigger world that we live in, so they're aware of everything going on. And they know that we're living in a multidimensional world and that what we see on a three-dimensional level is just a mere fraction of our greater reality. So they're always very gentle, very kind, very aware. The same experience where I've met people who will come to an ET seminar or people who are meditating with me and they're requesting dolphin contact or they're requesting ET contact on one level. But then maybe they forget that they at one time, perhaps in another lifetime or before they incarnated here, they asked for this time to be in contact with the ETs, but they don't recall that, and then they wonder, you know, who are these beings that are coming? So They're waiting. The ETs are waiting for us to recall, really, our galactic heritage and to communicate with them. So, you know, speaking of this galactic heritage, I'd like to share with you a small channeling from the whales about the Akashic Records. And it's really my pleasure to share these with you because the whales have very helpful information, and anyone who's ever swam with them is really aware of how profound it is. So those of you, so here's what they say. Those of you who are now interested in these things are on the leading edges of this new biophysical technology that will bring us together in the future. And this is about the records that are stored in the ocean. You use silicon to store information in your computers. We do not use the crude molecules of silicon for efficient information storage. We use the molecules silicon dioxide, which is sand and quartz, to program things. We are now revealing to you the nature of our library, which is known in your myths and legends as Akasha. This is also another name for the collective unconscious. You are now beginning to read both the collective unconscious and our vast, vast library. The water library is the library that contains most of our information. It can never be destroyed. We have it where it will not evaporate. It is where it cannot be touched by pollution. Therefore, it is safe. And we believe it will remain safe until you are ready to use it. Then, you will leap forward in your evolutionary awareness. So when I heard that, that really encouraged me to spend as much time as possible in the water.
Kind of reflects a lot of what's being said on the spiritual horizons. I've also heard people mention that they felt that the whales are the keepers of the ancient memories. And how are they keeping that? Well, we talked about the term cellular memory. And if we think about it, the blue whales are the biggest animal that's ever been grown on planet Earth, ever to go to such a huge size, and the number of cells that go into making such a huge animal would maybe contain ancient histories as part of its makeup. And so it may be very vital as to why these magnificent creatures are here to help contain the collective consciousness of Mother Gaia. They're part of that matrix system. So it sounds like the whales themselves could indeed be that integral part of the Akashic Record. They themselves holding the cellular memory of everything that we are, everything that we could be.
Yes, that's right. They're really here to help us and to assist the Earth. They're here for their own evolutionary process, too. And they're carrying a lot of the wisdom for the Earth.
Well, it's pretty undaunting from a little human standpoint to start to think in multidimensional terms. I know for myself, it's always been a real kind of a mental challenge, because it was enough to try to put all of the 3D things together and keep those in order and make a life out of it. And now somebody's saying, well, wait a minute, that's only a tiny fraction of all that there is. Oh, my God, I'm being overwhelmed. So what do we do when we're faced with all of this huge conglomeration of infinitesimal degrees of realities? I mean, that seems pretty intense.
Well, for me, I like to choose the new realities. So I'd like to start giving up some of the three-dimensional things. And if I start to get overwhelmed with all that's happening, that's the time to go into meditation and really get quiet and become aware again of what's really important, what's valuable. You know, it's so interesting because there's a going toward and a coming away, a going toward and a coming away. It's kind of like people are fascinated and interested, but then there's a little bit of, oh, no, not that. I'm not quite ready for that. And I know sometimes people are wondering, why aren't the ETs right here? If they want to communicate with us, well, why don't they, land here and make themselves obvious to this, and let's all go aboard the ships and all. And it seems this way. It seems like the ETs kind of stay out of reach and a little bit out of sight. And some people seem to have success in communicating, and they receive a sign or a message back. But a lot of times it seems that the request for confirmation of their presence is not happening. And again, I relate this to what goes on with the dolphins, because we'll have sometimes people come and it's their first experience with dolphins, and they have seen like the flipper show on TV, so they think they're going to hold on to the dolphin and go for a ride, and that's what they'd really like to do, you know. And I can understand that. It is nice to be close to the dolphin. You just wish you could hug it and look into its eyes all the time and all. But the dolphins, that's not what they want to do. They, if you reach out like that, at least the ones here, in the free-swimming dolphins here in Hawaii, they'll often swim away, especially if they don't know you yet. So what's going on with that? And of course, it's about both the dolphins, the whales, and the ETs are offering to us an opportunity to move beyond who we are and what we already know and what we're already comfortable with. They really want to expand our minds and hearts into their world. So rather than their coming here physically, they want us to enter a new consciousness where we'll really experience a lot of joy and peace.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of what happened to me on my first encounter with the bottlenose dolphins off of the coast of Key West in Florida. And it was a pretty profound experience swimming with them for several hours. And after that first day of coming back and sitting back, thinking about the day's events, some ideas and thoughts came rolling in. And one of the things that occurred to me was that communication is only possible between equals, that is to say, equal spheres of reference. And yet I felt so inadequate to try to communicate with dolphins, because it wasn't as if I needed to talk down to them, as so many scientists have been doing, or trying to set up a platform in which we are only talking down to a lower form of intelligence. Instead, it occurred to me that I had to learn a way to move my frequency levels up, move my awareness up into a higher level so that I could begin any communication with them. At the time, this was 10 years ago, I didn't know how to do that. But the clue that I had, or the sense that I had, was it was somehow, somewhere happening from my emotional body. It would come from my heart as a means of reaching out and being able to make that communication. Years later, that was confirmed and over again, and even reading your books, it seemed to be confirmed that the experience is something that requires a heart connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's very good. You know, it is about the heart, and it's about higher consciousness, and it's moving into those spaces where there's a deep peace, a sense of fulfillment, a great harmony, and those are the realms where they live, and we can move into those spaces. As I was mentioning, the dolphins are encouraging us to go beyond what we already know, beyond our five senses, and tempting us into new realities, and by going in the ocean, we do that. They know we're already good at seeing and smelling and touching and hearing and tasting. And so now they're showing us advanced abilities, such as how to use our sonar, because we have that too, and how to activate our telepathy, and how to make images with sound. You know, when you speak, your voice can project a picture to people. And even in the Soviet Union, they've done research with that, where they have someone just think. Here they're just thinking and creating a vibration with their thoughts of an image, like a building, a church, or some symbol. And then they actually have cameras that are taking pictures, energy pictures of the person's forehead, and it is showing up as a picture of what they're thinking about. So people are looking at ways to prove that this really works. Also, you know, so that's making images with sound and vibration. And then they also are encouraging us to be able to shape shift and mind merge with them, which comes easy when you're out there for a long time with them, and how to bilocate and become invisible, and more things than that. So again, the ETs are encouraging us to do the same thing. Their civilizations are thousands of years ahead of ours, and they have already been where we are now. So they understand us, and they know that there's a wonderful, fulfilling world ahead of us, if we're willing to go there, when we're ready to go there. So as we spend more time with them, then we're able to enter increased frequencies of light. And for me, that's asking them to be present in my life, asking them to be in my meditations, asking them to communicate. And then we are transcending time and space limitations and able to time travel and awaken our memories of who we are. So to me, it's so exciting. I mean, I know I like to be in those realms. If you look at my astrological chart, that's me. I'm all in, I think it's a 12th house. But there's so much to explore there. It's a very exciting place.
Well, the word meditation has come up a number of times, and I know that we had an earlier discussion and just how important it is to be familiar with those realms that we can access through meditation. Now, I know when we enter into the water to either swim with dolphins or just dangle in as a dead man's float in this ocean, has a natural tendency to relax our bodies as we would to focus on our breath as we listen to it circulating through the snorkel tube, and to let go of some of the mental constructs that keep us tied to the gravity world, and thus to sort of let us relax into a natural state of what we would call meditation. Now, meditation usually isn't a protocol. It doesn't mean that you have to chant a mantra such as the transcendental meditation, which is one form of doing it. But I know that it is an access, and we talked a little bit last week about the Robert Monroe Institute and how meditation was one of the protocols that were necessary before you could even begin to open up to these other alternative realities. So you emphasize how important it is. People want to have an experience. They want to get beyond their fears. They want to get beyond the mental constructs that we've been led to believe is all there is. And would you agree that maybe meditation is one of those key things that would help us get through that?
Yes. I think all of our listeners are probably well aware of that, the importance of meditation. Again, things are building up on the planet, and whenever there's any stress in our lives, if we can quiet our minds and go into that space and see things from the larger perspective, it helps us. Even our health, of course, is enhanced by that. But the more we meditate, and I've seen that over and over, of course, those people who are meditating regularly are really able to go into these other spaces and really make contact. So, yeah, I can't recommend it highly enough. I think it's really important. And, you know, the ocean is another important aspect, as we said, too, because when people spend time, even in nature, you know, and with the dolphins and whales and in meditation, their lives change for the better. So it affects you even on the physical plane. It's not just something you're doing vibrationally. Usually people who spend time with the dolphins and in meditation, their values change, you know, things they consider important, and they're looking more at how the dolphins live and trying to emulate them. And a lot of their old belief systems, they're starting to rethink them and say, where did I get this? And do I really want to still hold on to that? And they feel more connection to nature in general. And also, I know what happened to me. Like, I wanted to live a simple life. When I met the dolphins, I sold everything I owned and just decided to go wherever they were and live like they live. I thought, well, the worst that can happen is I end up in the poorhouse or something, you know. Oh, well, that wouldn't be too bad, I guess. But I just wanted to try it and have nothing, you know. And that's what I did in the beginning. And so I could be fully with them and just try this new reality and try to get away from the one I was raised with for so many years. So, like during the seminars that we do, we enter dolphin and whale consciousness frequently. And both on land and in the water, you know, not only when you're swimming with them, which is like an active meditation that's very beautiful, but also, of course, on the land, as we sit together in a group. And it's very transformative. And, of course, it's the same experience with our ET friends, where people also who have had contacts find their entire life changes. And the reality they've had, the previous three-dimensional one, suddenly seems kind of restrictive compared to the world of the light beings. And so new ideas start coming in, new projects, new spiritual work, and the camaraderie of other spiritual people, the beautiful colors and sounds that people experience. So life, really, in the ET world is fascinating. And so more and more we enter those frequencies, and peaceful harmony is really the norm there. And you know how important that is now and for the days ahead.
Well, you can say that again. The balance points, the harmonic concordance, these are all kind of buzzwords that we're hearing. How can we start to live a life where both of these aspects, the polarity of our lives, have suddenly been brought into a state of balance with one another? And however you want to divide that up, sometimes the old paradigm, the old way of thinking versus these new ways of thinking, those are the polarities that we have to deal with, and we're finding ways to get through it. And part of this experience is helping people to discover ways to do these things.
Yeah, and I found, like for me, I really grew up without much nature around me. I was more in a town, but it, you know, houses right next to each other. And I really craved nature all of a sudden after having none of it in my early years. And it really led to my living on the mountain where there are lots of beautiful trees and being close to the animals there. And I notice that happens with a lot of people, whether they want to be in the ocean again or on the land, but to be close to nature. And I was thinking about the like the astronauts, you know, when they went up in outer space, and they, by their own testimony, said that they changed after they were out there. They kind of became more metaphysical, you could say, and certainly very humanitarian. And many of them, they kind of choose to spend their time now speaking to audiences about the beauty of Earth and how special Earth is, partly because they saw Earth from a new perspective out there.
You shared space with Edgar Mitchell, I recall, in one of the Prophets Conference, isn't that right?
Yes, yeah. He's a wonderful man, very aware of the new science and the connection between metaphysics and physics. So, yeah.
Well, we're coming up at the top of the hour now, and before we get involved, in the next series of discussions, I know I want to sort of slide into some of the interesting phenomenon that's been showing up on the media lately. Last week, there was a series of shows that featured the UFO uncovering of the cover up of 1980 UFO sightings in England. And we can cover that a little bit as we get into the next hour of programming. I know that it's a real stretch of our minds to look at these new possibilities. And I think part of this whole thing that we're trying to help people come to grips with is different ways of accessing this information. So coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have a short break here, come back, and enjoy some more discussion about those possibilities. So, I'll be back with you in just a moment. track from Andrew Forrest's album, Alpha Omega. Parallel Worlds, it's called. And we're kind of talking about parallel worlds here right now. And how can we access these parallel worlds when everybody has a different impression of what this information is? I mentioned before the break of television, a program that was aired last week on the Sci-Fi Channel. I happened to pick it up. It's actually been aired for the last couple of weeks, and it deals with the military cover-up of an UFO landing incident in 1980 in England, in the it was called the Rendlesham Forest. That was right in between two military installations for the United States. The curious thing about the program, who was moderated by Brian Gumbel, who is a pretty well-known and respected newsman from NBC and network television, and he wasn't pulling any punches. He wasn't just putting information out as if it was for sure, but he was doing a very good investigative reported job. The curious thing about showing this show for me was that for the first time, we had qualified military personnel whose job it was to go out and investigate such things. They were sent out to investigate some very strange lights in the woods surrounding these military bases, which were very important military installations because they had nuclear weapons. They had installation of top secret material, and they had to be very mindful of anybody who might be intruding on that space. So they sent out several units. And what was curious was that everybody had an experience. Not everybody had the same experience, but everybody had some experience. And the military was very hastily covered it up. But I think the important point that I wanted to just touch base here with, and something that relates to what we're all trying to get a handle on, is that when we do have some kind of extraterrestrial encounter or something that is beyond our realm of recognition, that is obviously connected to something that is a sentient intelligence beyond human, we seem to be able to have different ways of interpreting that information. Even trained professional military men whose job it is to go out and read data as it's coming in, raw data that their only job is to give it back to their commanding officers, and they can evaluate that. These guys were out there in the field. They were seeing different things. They were having different experiences, but all of them had an experience. So along with Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project, what's been happening in the last 2 years is that a lot of these so-called cover-ups and a lot of the military personnel are coming forward and they're talking about these things. And we touched upon this a little last week, and I think it's pretty important to note that these are the changing times. They're enabling us to really access things that have been here all along, but now the general public is getting privy to it. I think it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a good point. Like, it's very subjective. You know, when I met the nine from Sirius, you know, they said, "We are a reflection of you." And they always had these one-liners, and you could think a lot about that. But what you put out is what you receive back, and that's a concept that we're not too used to in three-dimensional reality. But the reality changes and shifts all the time. It's not one thing. It's not one object or one color or one sound. It is fluid. And people will see different things, and it has to be okay. You know, that's the way reality really is. That's why it's so interesting to me that when you think of something like pod mind, that the dolphins are communicating with pod mind, and the way I understand that is they all put their impulses, their understandings together in a pool, so to speak, and then they all access it. And it must be so amazing to see what their final picture is. They once told me that communicating with humans was like riding a roller coaster, because we have all these emotions that go up and down, and they're totally fascinated by them, and they can feel them, and they see them as colors and different experiences. So when they let us into their pod mind, they're going, "Wee!" You know, there's a whole bunch of new information and experiences coming in. So, you know, and their pod mind, it's something that always intrigues me, because here in Dolphinville, we've been interested in the conscious community and coming together. And it's a big challenge, as I know people who have communities know, because you know, you'll take on these ideas, okay, what's known by one is known by all, there's no secrets, everything is shared and everything is appreciated and decisions are made together by everyone, and all the decisions have the good of the entire group in mind, and all wonderful ideas like that. But sometimes it's not so easy to enact them.
Political ideologies, sometimes characterized as communism, could be framed as much, but somehow personal agendas get in the way of us being able to drop these veils of separateness. And one of the beauties that have come through to me with the pod mind mentality is that we can begin to drop these veils, and the veils are opening us up to ourselves in relationship to everybody else as one entire unit, one being, a unity consciousness.
Yeah, and what's really happening here, I think, that's so beautiful, and it's kind of sneaking up on us, is that from people living here so long and sharing experiences with dolphins and whales, we truly love each other. And all of a sudden now, that love has become more important than any of the little differences. And so we're making exceptions in our mind for different people, and we're allowing this and we're allowing that, and the love just keeps growing. So it's a very beautiful thing. And I really think, again, the dolphins are such a good example of that. Our star beings are also, you know, in communications with the star beings, they always refer to themselves as we. And yet, as with the dolphins, they make it clear that they also remain their individuality. So they can merge and be part of a group mind, and yet they still remain individuals. They don't, what humans sometimes say is like, oh, I might lose myself in that other person. Uh-oh, if I get in a relationship, okay, you know, I might lose myself. But with both the ETs and the dolphins and whales, they have no fear of intimacy. They can really be close and open and honest with each other, and they are also separate entities and be individualists. They can do it all. So
I've had that challenge myself with being able to drop the idea that I was going to lose my separate identity. And yet, I think there's this like blame-shame game going on where it's really difficult for us to feel and allow ourselves to be intimate with just groups of people. It's hard enough with one other person. I mean, we're struggling with those kind of relationship issues now. But really, that's part of the lesson that we're being shown by the dolphins and the ETs, is that we can function that way quite beautifully.
Yeah. And I really do think that love can overcome everything. We see it happening a lot. You know, here we see the dolphins swimming together, and they're swimming on the surface. They come up to breathe together. They dive down together. It's synchronized. It's so beautiful. You know, how do they know to all dive at the same moment? And we love to watch that. And yet, on the other side of that, I know so many of those dolphins' different personalities, and they're different. I was thinking about some of them today, like Wrinkly. I've known Wrinkly since he was born, and Wrinkly is just playful and funny. I mean, he's always like that as a dolphin. Zach is an older male dolphin. He's kind of serious, but loving also. And then Thimble, you know, with that big on her dorsal fin, she has a lot of the dorsal fin missing. So Thimble, she kind of keeps to herself a lot. And then there's the dolphin X. Well, like X will swim really close to me for hours and look in my eyes and be perfectly at peace with that. And then we all know the dolphin Singer. Singer likes to make the trail of bubbles and try to get us to try and find her and follow her bubbles and see if we can keep up with her. And we all know Beauty Mark. She's got that Beauty Mark by her eye. And when she gets a leaf, when we're playing the leaf game, she doesn't want to give it up. She wants to keep it all the time. Three Spot is a dolphin that's like an ambassador, because he kind of brings the new dolphins to meet us. He brings them right over, and sometimes they don't know us yet, and they're a little shy, and then he brings them over. Ragged Fin always is swimming with no mark and blunted fluke. So they have their little personalities. Dimple, I love that dolphin Dimple. She has this little dimple on the back of her peduncle. Dimple on her peduncle.
Say that 10 times.
And she, whenever I wonder where Dimple is today, then she appears. So I find that, like, when I'm with them, they are individual, and yet when I'm quiet and kind of alert, I can enter their group mind. And it's this very expansive feeling. It's kind of similar to, you know, when you can read the mind of someone you love, and there's no secrets, and so you can really be close to that person and know what they're thinking.
It seems to be clearly the direction of our evolution as a species here on the planet. We're learning to exist and coexist on a planet that will support that kind of life. It's almost as if we've been separated from that. And even though it's been a very small increment of time, let's say 12,000 years by our reckoning and recorded history, really, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. In terms of galactic time, it's a blink. So I think we're coming out of a period of darkness and maybe moving back towards something that we were always intended to be, part of our human experience here on this material plane and this beautiful ocean planet.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly right. And I think that one of the ways that we're helped by the dolphins, one of the many, is that we trust them. And that level of trust is so important among people, too. I mean, can you trust each other? You know, our upbringing hasn't led us to be that
it's
way.
It's a big one.
Yeah. And so when you become friends with the dolphins and whales, you trust them. You know they're not going to hurt you. You know that they're gentle and they're going to be playful, and you know how closely they swim to us and coming right in front of us and cutting us off, and yet they never hurt us. And so, you know, they just have a different society than we do, and it doesn't include any aggressive behavior or competition or possessiveness or anger. They're really gentle with each other and with us, too.
Well, there's such great demonstrations of how creatures can cooperate with one another, coexist, co-create their world around them, and there really are such stunning examples for us to follow. It's like what we're doing here as part of this program is putting out a beacon of information that is not about competition. It's not about fear, reality matrices. It's not about promoting what is already out there. We are trying to give a pure signal to let you know that this can be trusted. There are entities besides humans that are here to assist us. And all we have to do is say, yes, please help. And they're willing. They're really right, ready. We'll just start there with us.
Yeah. And the ETs, they radiate a loving field of energy in the same way. I mean, they're interested in us. And perhaps they feel about us the way we feel about the dolphins, which is loving and curious and even protective. And when I'm in contact with our ET friends, I feel very safe with them. In fact, if ever I'm in a situation in a foreign country or someplace where I feel uneasy or uncomfortable, I'll call upon them, and I feel as though a protective energy comes around me in response. So I wanted to say a little more, too, about acoustic imagery or making pictures with sound.
You mean like projecting pictures with your mind?
Yeah. Most of the ETs that I know have a tonal language also. So, you know, in a way you could say we do. Our words are tones also, and it's putting out sounds. But again, you know, they can use sound to create a vibrational picture in your mind. Like when the dolphins are explaining something to me, and then I can't quite get what they mean. It's coming to me, and I'm translating it into words. It's coming into the cells of my body, but I can't get it. Then they'll shoot me a picture that I can see better and understand it. So they're able to send holographic pictures to further explain the concept. And of course, dolphins, whales, and ETs are very sensitive to vibrations, and they can hear much more than we can. So they can also use their frequencies and their sonar and their love to heal and activate dormant brain waves and cells for us. So they really are helping to wake us up to who we are as multifaceted light beings.
I think
they
just want us to play.
Yeah. No, that's later. Oh.
Here are the toys. Come and play.
Yeah, that's right. It's true. That's the most important thing. That's what they told John Lilly, I remember, when he was always in front of that computer. Get out there and play. So, well, the ETs use sound, and it's usually in octaves beyond our ability to hear, even for propulsion and for traversing hyperspace.
Speaking of sound, remember a couple of weeks or maybe a couple of months ago now, the scientists discovered that there was a low hum coming from the major black hole in the middle of our universe, and that they had determined that it was an F sharp, about 60 octaves below middle C or something like that. But the point was that the universe is made up of tonal sounds, harmonics that we can read. And I think it was suggested just recently, the shifts that we're experiencing, the vibrational shifts, are not moving up in increments, but they're moving up in octaves. So we're jumping up 8 times at each leap. And so no wonder our heads are spinning.
Wow. That sounds right to me. That's what it feels like. Yeah, that the message from the whales about their sounds relates to that too. They said that our sounds, the sounds of the whales, heard and unheard by human ears and recorders, are very powerful and very uplifting. When you are in the ocean, open your awareness to these sounds. Receive them into your living, vibrating structure called DNA, which they define as a shimmering waveform that is pliable and able to be modified by sonic pulses, sound, and light. We whales understand the power of singing, toning, and chanting specific ancient sounds. So certainly they're connecting to the sounds of the earth. These sounds affect healing and expanded states of consciousness. As their sounds move through you, they are able to transform matter. So they are literally changing your physical being. The meridians of the earth and the meridians of the human body and your neural patterns are being activated and vibrated into a new matrix of reality by the whales. We are overlaying our holographic patterns upon your own. And where the two can meet, yours and ours, where they can lock together, the enlightened changes in your physical and subtle bodies occur, preparing you for the new earth. So, as we've pointed out, of course, contact with the dolphins and with our extraterrestrial friends changes us for the better. And the earth, you know, with that sound, with that vibration, it's really alive. And we can communicate, and we do communicate, with the earth herself.
It occurred to me when I was thinking about the whales, and maybe this came directly from the whales themselves to me, that they've mastered the sound frequencies of this dimensional matrix. They have maybe 100 times more sensitivity to the sound band waves that we do, even with our instrumentations, certainly more than our hearing. So we have just a tiny fragment, almost the parallel to our 3D reality being a total tiny fragment of a total spectrum of the different reality matrices that are a part of us. And yet we're confined to this one thing, just like we can only hear a slim band of sound waves. But they seem to have been able to think and master sound waves, maybe because they are at a slower level frequency than light waves, and they are indeed part of the light or the whole frequency spectrum, but at an end of the spectrum that are maybe more manageable, because they seem to have been able to use the entire sound spectrum, a wide, wide band, as their entire means of communicating these very subtle realms that we are just trying to tune into ourselves. So they're great, great masters of these subtle realms of sound frequencies.
Yes, exactly. And that's really a big part of what they're teaching us. And we have to be careful about saying things that we can't do it or we can't hear it or, you know, can't experience that, because that's really what's happening now. We are beginning to. And so we have to, you know, really let that in and say, wow, what was that? What just happened? I just felt a little dizzy. Some new experiences coming in. I'm seeing things. And that's a big part of it. you know, you were talking before about how important it is that people come together and feel that closeness with each other. And it's interesting, the dolphins have been telling me they were going to release some new codes, you know, and they're activating codes in our bodies as we swim with them. And I'm thinking, ooh, boy, what can this be? It's going to be really far out, you know. Can't wait to hear what is this going to be. And so they did. And what they're activating is to remember our connection to each other. And they said, go all the way back, you know, to when you were in the womb and realize that you are part of another person's body and that body held you in the womb and that then you were fed by that person and that then you grew up in a family and the family lived with you and you were part of it and it was one. And then the larger family and the community. And that this connection is so innate, it's so natural in us. But, like, sometimes it's really forgotten in this world. It's people aren't always so connected to their families or aware of this really cellular connection we have to each other on that level. The secular world can sometimes disconnect us or make us feel estranged. And especially now, so it's like, really becoming aware of our deep cellular connection to each other. And I find lots of times that's the experience people have with the dolphins and with the ETs. It's this feeling of coming home, you know, as though it's something so familiar. And it's really, I think people have spent years searching for meaning and trying to understand a desire for union with, they weren't sure what. They knew they wanted to feel connected to something. And now it's being realized, and we can sense that we're part of a big pod and that we truly know each other very well. So that's something that's really coming in strong now, and especially in communities where people can appreciate each other and express that appreciation.
It's also kind of echoes some of the opinions expressed about DNA and how there are dormant strands of DNA that scientists call junk DNA, just hanging around in our bodies, but others feel that they are in fact being activated now to accommodate this new shift and how we can activate our cellular and DNA memories to accommodate these things that we're talking about.
Yes, and that's one of the things that the dolphins mentioned, that they are activating a strand of our DNA that's interdimensional. And that's also why we're having so many of these experiences now. So, again, I wanted to say a little more about we are learning so much now about other cultures and other species. You know, we can accept the dolphins as they are in their different way of living and their reality, and we can accept each other, and we can accept that there's star beings from all different planets, and they all look different, and they behave different, they have different vibrational frequencies, and they're not materialistic. They live a simple life with all their needs fulfilled. And so we're given the opportunity to join them and experience other dimensions with them, like as our guides. And we can experience bilocating and time travel, and going beyond linearity into holographic worlds with them. So we really move into this collective consciousness, and we're sensitive to various vibrational fields, understanding how to participate in them with our thoughts and words. Really, everything we do every day makes a decision about whether or not we're interacting, which fields we're choosing to be with. So accepting the responsibility of being co-creators with them. And it also means giving up that them and us kind of way of thinking, you know, merging into the oneness and connecting with them in that level, because we're all co-creating this reality together and it's perfect. So in January, this is what I would like to do really with everyone listening. I'd like to do some time traveling with everyone so that we can experience it instead of just talking about it. And I think we'll probably do that on Monday night, January 12th. So on January 12th, I'll lead people in a meditation to experience time travel. And I think it's especially wonderful to do it as a pod, to have our group mind come together over the airwaves like that and do it as one. So mark your calendars, and all that we're talking about now is preparation for that.
It'll truly be an experiment in time and space as we draw together people who we've got messages. People are listening as far away as China and Indonesia and in the Netherlands, South Africa. We have a wide expanse here. It's kind of a global network and a global audience. So when we do this type of exercise, it's more than just having a couple people sitting around in a circle. We're going to expand this out and have a global coverage. That's kind of exciting. Okay, well, I know that you wanted to share some of these other realities and some of the other material about the ETs. One of the things that we've found so often is that we come out of the water laughing. I don't think I've laughed so much as when we have been finished swimming. We're sitting around, and it's like we can't stop from giggling. We're so giddy. And it's not it's some quickening of a spirit, but we've also found that it seems like the dolphins and the ETs both have quite a sense of humor about them. You've had some experience with that, too.
I know. Somebody wrote to me, and they said, speaking about the holiday season, they said, Happy Blissmas. And I thought, that's perfect for here, because we really do experience a lot of bliss with the dolphins. In fact, we have to be careful driving back home, and it's good to take a little walk for a while and get focused again. But that's something I've appreciated so much, and it's important to keep in mind that both the dolphins, the whales, and our extraterrestrial friends have great senses of humor. They really have joy and laughter in everything they're doing and we doing with them. So I really hear a lot of jokes come through, like with the ETs. Sometimes I'm at the computer and I'm writing, and they're making double meaning words and different thoughts and synchronicities coming in, and it's some of the things so inane and unexpected, and yet you realize they're coming through with these funny jokes. And of course the dolphins do the same. You know, we're playing lots of times games with them. They play with bubbles. They send bubbles up, and they let us, we swim through them, and they let us catch the bubbles, and sometimes they make bubble rings, and they're coming up through them. And they do everything to entertain us. And I've often found that if people are feeling sad or something's happening in their life, or, you know, a breakup or a friendship or something like that, and they're feeling down, the dolphins seem to do everything possible to make them laugh again. And to let them say, you know, it's okay, it's not the end of the world. I like to share the one experience I've had of many with playing the Leaf game. And this one time, I was playing this game on and on with Zach. And, you know, he would catch the leaf, of course, with his pectoral fin and be swimming along with it. And then he'd shake it off his pectoral fin and catch it with his tail. And then eventually he'd shake it off, and I'd be behind him, and he'd let me catch it. So now I'd have the leaf, and I'd swim along with it for a while, and then I'd dive down and let it go down there, and then come up quick to have a breath of air, and he'd dive down and get it. And sometimes when he'd release it to me, I'd be carrying it on my mask or put it on my fin, or you know how we do that. We all try to do what they do and carry this leaf that's floating around the water from some tree on our gear and do it the way they do. So this day we're playing, and all of a sudden he dives down, he has the leaf, and I look down and I can't find it, and I'm, where is it, where did he put it, what happened to it? And I dive down and I can't see it. I come back up, I'm looking around, it's nowhere to be found. And he's funny, he's like swimming all around, he looks like he's looking for it too, round and round the circle he's going, and I'm on top watching and wondering. And then slowly, as though he gave up, he starts to just float up toward me, up, right next to me. And when he gets just beneath me a little bit, he rolls over to the side. And there on his stomach, he has the leaf flattened against his stomach.
Ta-da.
Holding it there. So there's just a lot they do out there, as we all know. And I found the same with contact with some of the extraterrestrial beings. I like to share the story of the time I was preparing for a seminar, And it was a seminar, I think it was called Introduction to Dolphins. So looking over the emails from people and who was coming, and I thought, well, I don't think these people are really interested in the subject of star being so much. So I think I won't talk about it. I'll just talk about the dolphins and nothing else. And then I went to bed that night and get a good rest before the seminar starts the next morning. And that night, in the middle of the night, in my bedroom, all of a sudden, my computer turned on really bright. And it was totally off. It hadn't been in sleep mode. It had been totally shut off, and it came on and woke me up. And I thought, what is going on? So I got up to turn it off, walked over to the computer. It was next to the window, and I looked out, and there, hovering outside my window, is this UFO all lit up. I saw it there, and I just said, all right, I'll talk about you in the seminar. And then I turned off my computer and I went back to bed. and really, in the morning I could hardly believe it. I just went back to sleep, you know. But really, you know, when you're in those expanded spaces, contact with extraterrestrials is normal. And it occurs frequently. And that's just part of interacting with them. And if they can make you laugh, they will.
Well, I think maintaining a sense of humor is oh so important. We have a tendency to take ourselves way too seriously when it comes to these things, and maybe that's conditioning that has been put on us. Well, we're going to come up on the last half hour here pretty soon. I wanted to take a little short breather and fade into some music by Tony Salvage from his album Pele's Heart, something that'll bring us some joy and bliss, and then we'll be back and wrap this up for the next half hour. Thanks for staying with us. Salvage from Pele's Heart. It's called Sound Vessel. Amazing violinist. We're having a good time here. We're talking about having fun with dolphins. First, I want to acknowledge just we're coming to you live on the internet, courtesy of photon.net. Randy Barris at the controls, the operator for this evening. He's gotten us through these programs with smoothness and segues, so I really appreciate his effort and certainly his ability to give us these sound waves and broadband broadcast capabilities. Speaking about the leaf game, I know when I was swimming, I've experienced it many times, and it's one of the most endearing things to see people playing with the dolphins and the leaves and really get this joy that seems to come in directly. It occurred to me one time that the leaf is a medium that offers a connecting point between the humans and the dolphins. Now, often I thought that perhaps the vibrational frequencies that separate our two species, sometimes the bridge is too great, which is one of the reasons why it's difficult to touch directly the dolphins. So I think they offered up the leaf as something that we could both touch without touching one another. And one time I was playing and I noticed it, and it just came in as a holographic image that in the leaf was a spin of information, if you will, a tickle that the dolphins left behind in a childlike manner so that we would pick it up and put our vibrational spin into the leaf and then give it back to them. So in a way, they're having this conversation with us using the leaf as a medium for very subtle vibrational exchanges. It's really kind of fun to think of it that way, and plus we were laughing and giggling as we were doing it.
That's great. Yeah, that's really true. I never thought of it that way. Yeah.
One wonders how they're playing. They're trying to introduce us to an entirely different mentality, a new, an entirely different way of understanding the way reality actually is with relationship to us. This is our best and our best proof and example of how another alien species would exist, whether or not they're on terra firma or they're from outer space. Their whole conditions are different. Their whole sensibilities are different. Everything that they measure intelligence with. In fact, how do you think a dolphin is thinking about us? Are they thinking to themselves, wonder how intelligent they are, you know? What would their measurement be? Certainly ours is different. But I know that you wanted to share a very special channeling from the whales, and it was about the play of the whales.
Yeah, and I was thinking when you were talking about that, about the leaf with the dolphins, that actually they did say that that playing with them, it's a good experience because then you're so focused on the leaf. I mean, it's like we all treat that leaf as though it's a gold leaf, you know, something so valuable. They act as though they want it so much, and we all want it so much. And it's kind of a joke too about attachment and physical things, and we're all trying to get it and all. But they said that when we're focused on something like that, our mind is often blank, that we're just concentrating on where's the leaf and how can I dive down and get it, and which dolphin is going to catch it before me, and can I beat the dolphin there and get it before he gets it, and the baby dolphins are playing too, and look at all the leaves and all the dolphins with leaves on them. And so we're totally into the game, and for that period of time, we've set aside all any other things on our mind, and we've gone blank, just focused on the leaf. So for that reason itself, it's a really good thing. And it's interesting, you spoke in another program about the footage I have of humpback whales making great big bubble rings. And they're huge. They come up to the surface and explode on the surface, and they're 10, 12 feet across. They're so big. And so I've witnessed whales also playing. And yet sometimes when I speak at conferences, you know, where there's other researchers and marine biologists, and we have kind of an ongoing debate about whether or not whales play, most of the other scientists seem to think that whales do not play, that all the behaviors, the things that we're witnessing, are part of mating rituals or feeding or navigating activities.
Those are the serious scientists, right?
Yeah, they are. So, but from my experience in the water, you know, of course I've seen them playing. We've all seen them play, and of course the baby whales especially. So I wondered about that, and out of curiosity, I asked the whales about it. And I'd like to share what they said about playing. They tend to go into a lot of this information in detail. And I think you'll enjoy it, though. And it's a good reminder for us to look at how we're spending our time with our everyday life.
Okay, good. Well,
here's what they say. Playing and having fun is very important to us whales. The universe is created for experiencing. Playing is the whale's favorite experience. Together, we have learned to play always. through play, we are able to discover the various paths within the mind. We have learned that play is essential. It is more essential than work. Humanity does not know this yet, although you will learn it in your future. Your history has some stories of players, but most of your history is about workers. You are driven beyond reason, believing you must justify your existence. You feel that you must earn life, although it is a free gift to you from your mother, father, creator. Yet you do not accept this, so you work more than you need to. You forget how to play. You do not know how to have fun with the universe. When we whales first started, about 20 million years ago, to look at the path through the sea and at the path of bringing our minds together in unity within the all, we began to understand that the mind of the all is a mind that plays out the universe. It is similar to what you would call a movie or a play. So the universe, too, is not only playing, but a giant play. The roles you are now playing are not who you are. They will never be who you are. But some of your true nature comes through these roles. The things that you do or do not do, the attitudes, the behaviors, and the thought patterns determine more than anything else who you are. To renew the deepest part of yourself, which becomes depleted if it is lost in technologies, materialism, time, and even thinking, one must return to play. Your things that you have, deplete you and drain you, even when you do not realize it. Concerns with economics, science, and even history can become play if you do not respond to them. But if you do not respond to them playfully, they become depletions. Play is the source of life renewal. We whales spend 60 to 70% of our time playing. We spend most of our time doing things without an object. You would find that idea very strange. Everything you do has a purpose and a goal. You want to accomplish something, and everything becomes a step to that end. But for us, the steps are enough. They do not have to go anywhere. The path does not have to lead anywhere. We can talk about many serious and important things. We do this because moderation and balance are important. We spend much of our time playing, and in this playing we find renewal. We whales renew each other by interacting on a non-serious level. And this is healing. If you check your records, you will find that no member of our species has ever contracted cancer. The reason for this is that we play out the energies instead of locking them into the cellular structure. When the energies become locked in the cells, they create distortions in the processes there. And that creates many, many problems. Perhaps we would be taken more seriously by you if we described play as healing. Play can be very healing. It tends to lift our minds out of the ordinary and bring them into the extraordinary. For us, play is a form of moving meditation. This is what you have called it when you are swimming for hours with the dolphins. It is what you would call transcendence. Play can be viewed as work when you use the words, you must. Then you make it work. So do not say you must play. Rather, the ideal is you want to play. You do whatever you want. Play is a manifestation of deep, deep desires in the personal and collective levels of the unconscious mind. As you study our behavior, you will notice that we play often. You want to play also. If you stifle that wish, you become grim, depressed, or anxious. Play is absolutely essential. You are wondering how much, as you always do. If we were to quantify it, we would say that we whales spend the larger percentage of our time playing. That is how important it is to us. You have never known a culture among you like this. You will develop one in the coming century. This culture will bring light and illumination to your world. It will return you to the stage of the unburdened child. These people, these new children who are coming, will heal you in many ways. And so you see that all that you do can be playful if you approach it in a playful way.
Wow, what a beautiful healing, profound healing message from the whales. It occurred to me when I was swimming with the whales one time that they have such a deep, deep compassion for the human condition. They seem to recognize how very complex we have made our lives, how much of a burden that we have placed upon ourselves in order just to exist on a daily basis, how difficult it is. They have nothing but compassion for us and an open heart to help us get over this seriousness, get over this way too, taking things too seriously.
It's so true. I mean, they really love us, and as everyone knows who's listening, if you've looked into the eye of a whale, you feel so much compassion. They know us so well, and they love us exactly as we are, and they give us a lot of love.
Well, you certainly embody that with the seminars that you hold. I would say more than anything else, they're play shops. They enable people to come and to let go of the seriousness of their life, to start to really feel and get in touch with the happiness, the joy, the bliss that really is our human right. That's our natural state of being, in that state of bliss and joy and love. And you, more than anybody I've ever met, seem to be able to engender that response. You take these people who have, some of them, serious illnesses, actually, and show them how important it is to have fun and enjoy themselves. It's like a big kids' camp sometimes out there. But the one thing that it does come through is that people start to get in touch with the thing that they seem to have lost, that element in their heart that allows them to love again, to love their life, to love their existence, to love one another. It's so important, Joan. I must say, I really love the work you do, and I believe in it. So thank you for sharing that.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, I really enjoy the play shops, as you know. And it's a chance for me to be silly and express who I am and share with beautiful, loving people. Mm. And again, our connections to each other are so important. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about how the whales really encourage us to respect the ancient ones and be aware of our roots in that way. All these special beings, the star beings and the ones on Earth. And many of us here, I think, many people listening, are carrying the frequencies of Sirius. And we retain some of the Sirius.
Seriously, though.
Yes, very seriously, even though we're playful. We retain some of the Sirian patterns in our system, apparently. And the dolphins do, too. So we often receive inspiration from the memories of our life in Sirius. The ETs also have, perhaps they are us, and we've traveled back. Perhaps they are us in the future, and we've traveled back to change this time.
Yeah, we've heard
this. To change
our
future.
Yeah, the Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do they say that there?
Well, the Terminator is traveling back from the future to change the future.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's pretty violent, but there's some humor. I'll be back.
Is there? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and in that way, we really are one, and our elders might be ourselves. So, of course, we want to respect each other. I would like to share also a channeling from the whales about Atlantis. So if everyone just sits back and relaxes, and I'll tell you a story the whales shared about Atlantis. It seems that many of us listening to this broadcast have a connection from way back then. It seems we're back here now, coming into our soul groups again, remembering all the beautiful and spiritual connections we had there in Atlantis. And as we listen to this and remember our connection, we can also remember the spiritual advancement we experienced then and make a commitment to experience that again here, bring all the best of Atlantis back to Earth, along with the new knowledge that we attained then and we are attaining now. So, here is this message from the whales about Atlantis. Listen and remember. Atlantis was not a single continent, but was in fact a number of small continental islands which were linked to each other by culture and tradition. It was a center of scientific study, settled and civilized by human beings who had brought with them the knowledge of the old ones. It was a knowledge that today would be called science and technology. Present-day humanity has become the inheritors of some of that knowledge. But in some ways, present-day humanity have become lost in technology. And some people have lost their divine connections with spirituality. Atlanteans did not separate science and spirituality. For them, they both represented reality. The Atlanteans were spiritual in their orientation, and they developed a culture that worked with energy rather than with material things. The word spirit can also mean energy, as well as love and many other things. They utilized this divine power, energizing all things. They knew that this was mind, the mind of the One. They studied the mysteries of mind, matter, light, and creation. They experimented with what we would call altered states, with psychology and with mind, rather than with things. Their laboratories were psychological laboratories, not physical ones. They knew how to use certain energies of the earth and could amplify them in specific ways, psychically. They used crystal technologies, similar to those that lie behind the development of the lasers used by people today. But manipulation of energy was not their specialty. Their specialty was the development of group mind, the development of synergy, resonance, and empathy. By working with this empathic resonance, they hoped to be able to complete the group mind so it would spread throughout the world. The energy work, the cosmic realities, and the power of love and group mind was brought to the Atlanteans, was brought by the Atlanteans to people in every part of the world, to China and Africa, Egypt, South America, Palestine, Europe, Portugal, Mexico, as we know them today. In the process, they settled these places and developed them and lived throughout the world. They left their teachings in symbols. The cross was a major symbol. The circle was another. And combinations of crosses, circles, and the pyramid which was one of their energy constructs, appeared all over the world during that time. Some of their knowledge was encoded in hieroglyphic alphabets and in religious symbolism. These symbols are still available to those who can understand the deeper meaning of them. A terrible tragedy occurred because of the buildup of too much subatomic power. The island continent of Atlantis was ultimately destroyed by geomagnetic force field alterations. The experiments got out of control. Changes took place in Atlantis that finally caused the island to literally break apart. Before they perished, the people of Atlantis were able to send many of their people to uncivilized areas of the world. But the Atlantean knowledge became overwhelmed by the large numbers of uncivilized people, and most of it was lost. Things such as ancient models of flying craft, ancient batteries, some of the ancient works of art, the pyramids, the ancient alphabets, the ancient calendars, numerology, and astrological systems. The whales retain and use some of this ancient knowledge, such as subatomic flow, dream states, parapsychology, and their psycho-holographic understanding of reality as expressed in the one mind. All of their wisdom contains the codex of sacred teachings. There are still remnants of the ancient knowledge, sacred truths, that remain from Atlantean times. A certain knowledge of geometry, of the sacred lines of power that surround the earth vertically and horizontally, north and south, east and west. The idea that mounds or mountains were energy centers was retained. The understanding of the power of the six directions, the idea of allies in the form of the totem or totem poles, the knowledge of mystical experiences, of life after death, teachings about herbs, animals, and legends, the healing traditions, and the medicine wheel.
Wow, that's profound. Again, you have so much valuable information from your connection with the dolphins and whales, and seems to have evaporated our time here. We've come up on our 2 hours, and we've just scratched the surface, it seems. We've got more things to talk about in the programs ahead of us. Next, we'll celebrate one more time before the end of 2003. On the 29th, next week, we'll be able to have everybody join us again. And Joan will be able to take us into some more of these realms, and maybe we'll have some more exchange together. Anything that you'd like to add as we wrap up, Joan?
I just wanted to mention to everyone to be sure and tune into our meditation. This is December 22nd, and on the 22nd of each month, the community here in Dolphinville meet together to meditate and have ET contact. So we'll be meditating in about 2 hours at Sky Ranch. So we'll meet you there in dream time in meditation space. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you're of a mind, tune in, listen to the frequencies of the ETs that we're inviting into the Big Island of Hawaii. And I would like to thank Randy at photon.net for hosting this program. I'd like to thank all of you listeners for tuning in and being part of this broadcast. I'm inviting each and every one of you, if you feel like becoming a member of dolphinville.com, it's real easy. You just sign up, hit the little button that says members sign in. And it's a free sign-up right now, and it will enable you to get in and do some of the things that we members like to do, play with the dolphin divination cards, do a little bit of chat in the forums, and some of the other informational things that we have to share with one another. We will be coming back next week and the following weeks to share more of this information. I want to thank you all for being a part of it, and we'll be thinking about you over this holiday season. I hope that Santa Claus is good to every one of you and brings everything that you want. And mele kalikimaka is what the Hawaiians say. And from Dolphinus here in the Big Island in Dolphinville, I will tell you what the dolphin said to me, which is to be well and to swim free. I look forward to seeing you all again soon. Aloha.